We'll go over there in just a minute. Let me say I appreciate the good choir singing. Now, you did good yesterday, but tonight seemed like there's a special touch on it. I don't know what it was. And then the brothers singing, the old ship of Zion. And I'm like my buddy back here. One of these days I'm going to sail out of here. You can call me anything you want to, but when the rapture comes, son, you can call me gone. I'm leaving. Amen. Well, a snail and a turtle had a head-on collision. The trooper came by, and the snail was on his side, and the turtle was on his back on his shell. And the trooper said, "What happened here?" The snail said, "I don't know. It happened so fast." They're kind of mean, eh? Say, "Preacher, why do you do things like that?" Well, it gets you smiling a little bit, amen? And don't hurt to laugh. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine, amen? Now listen, we quote that verse and we don't stop to think about what that's saying. That's saying laughing is as good as going to the doctor. I'd rather laugh than give them my money, wouldn't you? You say, "I don't know, have you been to the doctor lately?" Amen. "The bills are high and the care is bad." No, I'm kidding. And there, I got friends in the medical profession. I'm very careful what I say. But anyway, I love my doctor friend. I'm glad I've got some good Christian doctors. I walked in not long ago and I did a series on prayer. And one morning the Holy Ghost said, "Take that and give it to your doctor." My doctor is don't fault me now, he's a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher. And a large city. And I go in that doctor's office, and he had a bunch of little people there with him, you know, Wake Forest. They have the students. And that doctor took that series and opened that up and made those students wait till he read every title of every sermon. Put that thing back and said, "Praise God." Said, "Thank you, preacher, for giving me that." Said, "I'll use it." I said, "Amen." Well, I'm glad to be in. Brother Hayworth, I just want to say again, I love your church. I thank God for you. You know, I come from a great church, Northwood Baptist, and I'm glad for my church and my pastor. Matter of fact, my pastor, he's so kind. Last night, about 9:30, he texted me, and he said, "Man, we've been praying for you today." Well, I appreciate that, and they do pray for us when we're gone. And I do have the best church in the world, amen, I think. But y'all got a great church, too, and I kind of honored to be here. I really am. I mean that, preacher. You could have got anybody to come to this meeting, but I am honored to be here. I believe it's the will of God. I believe we're in the right place this week, and I want to honor the Lord. I want to love everybody. I love every preacher and every church that's standing for the truth. If you're visiting tonight, I'm glad you're here. Now tonight, in 1 Thessalonians, if you are visiting, this is my scripture like yours, King James, just print it off where I can see it. Tonight, I want you to stand with me. I'm going to read a few verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, I'm going to preach to you from a subject that is very seldom ever preached on in these days in which we live in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to begin here at verse number 16 tonight, and we're going to look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And he said this in verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now, Father, tonight, you know, Lord, it's been a busy day. But tonight, I want my mind to focus clearly upon that you need for your people tonight. And I confess my sin. Help me to deliver what you've given me in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Many years ago, when I was growing up in church, at least one night of a revival meeting, the old-time preachers would preach on the coming of the Lord. Nowadays, we don't hear much about the coming of the Lord because, to be honest with you, a lot of folk forgot that He's coming. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, Paul writes to these Thessalonians for a reason. They're having questions about their lost loved ones that have died in the Lord. And Paul writes to reassure these folk that if their loved ones were saved, they're going to see them again. But in all that, he gives us some great truths tonight about the doctrine that we call the rapture of the church. Now let me say tonight, before we get into this, and I'm going to preach to you on this subject, the rapture of the church. Now before we get into this, I'm well aware that the word rapture is not found in your King James Bible. The word rapture is a Latin word, but it means, and even in the Greek, it means a snatching or a catching away. Paul said he was called up to the third heaven. Now there are many views and ideas about the rapture. I'm not going to deal with any of that stuff tonight. I'm only going to deal with what the Bible says about the rapture. I'll be honest with you, we can take our views and ideas all day, but what does the King James Bible say about it? Amen? Let me say tonight, by way of introduction tonight, I want to give you a picture of the rapture. There are two pictures that I find, and there may be more than this, but there's at least two pictures that I find in the first book of your Bible, Genesis, of the rapture. The first one I find is Lot. Lot was living in Sodom in a wicked, wicked day. Now I'm going to stop right here and say this, that the sin of the Sodomites is wicked as the devil himself tonight. Amen? And you say you shouldn't say that in church. I think we ought to say it. Because it's getting into our homes and our families, and if we're not careful, you know, we'll get a little sympathetic with Steve and Sam getting married. I won't. I ain't. I can't. The Bible don't. Amen. I found something out today. It's very disturbing. You know, Monday, a week from today, is the Boston Marathon. Did you know that they are allowing, for the first time, transgenders? That's a he that thinks he's a she, but it's really a sham. They're allowing the transgenders to run with the women. In other words, they're going to be creepy crawlers in that race. And you say, preacher, what about that? I said that to say this. We're living in a sad hour. The Christian and myself was talking about it this morning. We had a little incident. We was talking about some things. And I was talking about kids. And not all kids are bad. But they're honestly, there's some kids today that have had no raising. They just ain't had raising like I did. If I did some things some of these kids did, my daddy would, well, never mind what he'd do. But anyway, you get the point. And what I'm saying is, I told her, or she told me, she said, you know, we was talking about getting old. And I'm going to get old before she does, because I'm 10 years older than her. And I know I don't look it, but I am. And, amen. But you know, if you live 20, 30, 40 more years, we're going to live in a bad situation, man. And the thing is, if we're saved, we're getting out of here. And Lot is in Sodom with all that sin. And the Bible said that Lot lingered in Sodom. While he lingered in chapter 19, verse 16, he said the angels got him by the hand and his wife and his two daughters and led them out of the city. Now the second picture I find of the rapture is a little bit better than that. It's found in Genesis chapter number 5. It's talking about a man named Enoch. And the Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now, there's only two men that ever escaped death. That's Enoch and Elijah. And there's a reason for that in the book of Revelation. Enoch and Elijah will come back, and they represent there's only two men ever escaped death, but in Revelation, it's going to be Moses and Elijah, come back the law and the prophets. But Enoch escaped death because he is a type of the rapture of the church. Now, a lot of people say, well, Enoch's got to be one of those two witnesses. He could come back and die. No, he don't. The church is not going to die. You say, well, preacher, what are you going to do with the book of Hebrews 9:27? I ain't going to do anything with it. I'm going to leave it in the Bible. You say, but it says it's appointed unto man once to die. It's talking about mankind. That don't mean that God can't let a man get a man out of here without dying. God's a big enough God. He can do anything he wants to and don't have to ask me and you about it. Amen? But Enoch is a type of the rapture. And Enoch is a type of a man that's on fire for God. Can I say to you tonight that there will be people at the coming of the Lord that will be on fire for God? Why, the devil ain't got everybody. The devil ain't got all of our choir folk. Thank God you was here. The devil ain't got all of our choir leaders. Thank you, brother. The devil ain't got all of our deacons. Thank you, men. Why, the devil ain't got all of our sound men. Thank you, men. Why, the devil ain't got all of our young people. I see young people here tonight. Thank God. I mean, listen, man, there's going to be some people and there's going to be some churches that are going to be soul-winning, fundamental, Bible-believing, mission-supporting churches. And they're going to be working for God when we leave here, boy. Amen. Amen. It's not all doom and gloom. And the rapture's a good thing. Amen. So now I want to deal with the truths of the rapture tonight. Amen. The coming, don't let that scare you now. There's a good thing. Get ready to happen. Can I say this before I get into the message tonight? Did you know there are no signs to the rapture? The rapture of the church is God's next event. It's the next thing that's going to happen. And by the way, it's as real tonight as John 3:16 is. I'll give you an illustration. If you get on Highway 421 and go toward Winston-Salem, probably the sign you're going to see is Winston-Salem. But you're not going to see a little community called Hamptonville. I'll just use it for illustration. I know a little bit about Hamptonville, and I know it's a real place. And so, but you know what you'll do before you get to Winston-Salem? You get to Hamptonville. Can I say tonight, before you get to the Revelation, you're going to get to the rapture. Amen? Before you get to the Revelation and all the plagues and the mark of the beast and all that stuff, you're going to get to the rapture. You're going to be gone, friend. You say, now, preacher, I believe, well, I can't help what you believe. I know what the Bible says. We're going to be gone. We're saying, I'm not going through 1 minute of the tribulation period. I'm not going through 1 minute of the rapture. Of the tribulation period, the rapture is going to be take us away, and God's going to do us just like He did Lot. He's going to get us out of here before He judges. He told Lot, He said, I can't do anything till you get out of here. Let me tell you something. The rapture of the church is a great thing. It's a blessing. It's a doctrine that we overlook. And I begin to study this today, and I begin to get under conviction. And I thought about it, Brother Hayworth, and I thought, you know, I ain't looking for the Lord like I ought to. But thank God there's a great day coming. Let's dig into this. Just look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4 tonight in the rapture. Number one, I see the Christ in the rapture. Verse number 16, He said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. You know, when the Lord gets ready to come, He ain't going to send Paul. And Peter ain't waiting at the gate. I know we sing songs about St. Peter waiting at the gate. He's not going to be at the gate. Can I tell you tonight, listen, the Lord Himself's going to come get me. The very Christ that died on Calvary's cross and has the wounds and scars in His hands and His feet is coming to get me, praise God. He's coming Himself to get me out of this world. Ain't that a blessing? For the Lord Himself, amen. The rapture has a personal touchdown. He's coming, friend. Who's coming? Christ is coming. Amen. John chapter number 14, He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am there you may be also. He's been gone a little over 2,000 years. And guess what? He's coming back again, amen. And He's coming what for? His bride, amen. How many of you remember your wedding day? I remember my wedding day. It's real interesting. Very interesting. Dr. Ron Beatty made it even more interesting. And he knows I tell this story. I tell it at his church. Amen. I didn't ask him could I tell it. I just told it. And he laughed about it, I think. But anyway, Brother Beatty got up there. We had 10 people there. Well, before the wedding, things got... I had went over there to the... We had rented a mobile home, you know, live in. And I went over and got ready for the wedding and found I had 2 left boots. I left oven at the house and up there where I live. And I had to call somebody to bring me that. Then I was wearing one of these zip ties and got ready for the wedding. That thing got stuck. Wouldn't go up, wouldn't go down. I said, finally got that fixed and went on in there. And I was nervous as a wildcat. We had 10 people there. And we sat down there getting ready to get married. I told Brother Bates, I said, just go ahead about 10 to 6. He just sat there and ignored me. Didn't pay. At 6 o'clock sharp, he got up and married us. Amen. But you know, that night was the most exciting night of my life except for getting saved. Because I looked over there and there was the most beautiful girl in the world standing there beside me. Amen. I know some of y'all can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I did either, but I did. I love my wife. Amen. I really do. But you know what? That's my wedding night. Can I say to you, the rapture is going to be the wedding day for the church. Glory to God. God is coming back to get us Himself. He's not going to send somebody after me. He redeemed me and bought me, and He's coming to get me Himself. Amen. Well, if you buy something and it's yours, you want to try it out, don't you? I got to do something here next week. I ain't never done but I'm going to buy me a brand new lawnmower in a few weeks. And I'm going to go to mowing. Amen. I ain't mowed in 20 years. I've always lived somewhere somebody mowed the yard. I bought 2 acres of land. I'm going to go to mowing, boy. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know if you can do it or not. I don't know if I can either, but we sure are going to cut some circles. Amen. Hey. But But when I buy it, I'm going to use it. Amen? It's going to be mine. Amen? And God bought the church, and glory to God, He's coming to get it. Amen? I mean, I'm talking about, I know this ain't, it's a different kind of a sermon, but it's a doctrinal sermon. It'll help you because you need to know about the rapture tonight. Amen? Number two, I want you to notice the shout in the rapture. Verse number 16, He said, with a shout. Now, this is interesting because the word shout here is a military term. And it's a command. You see, in the military, they don't ask you, do you want to do this or that? They don't come by and ask those young boys, do you want to get up this morning, Junior? You know, it's okay if you don't. I mean, I know you stayed up to 2 o'clock playing video games. If you want to sleep a little while, hey, one fellow said, I'll tell you what I did. He said, I got tired of Mom and Daddy telling me what to do. When to get up, when to go to bed, and keep my room clean, keep my clothes clean. I got tired of all that and went and joined the Marines. Yeah, okay, whatever. But did you realize that God Himself is going to come from heaven and command, amen, that we go up? I mean, that shout means authority. Can I tell you tonight the Pope can't do that? Can I tell you tonight that Allah can't do that? Can I tell you tonight that Buddha can't do that? Can I tell you tonight that the Mormon church can't do that? But Jesus Christ can. He bought us and paid for us, and He's going to command one day that we get up and go. Amen. Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus said, roll away the stone. And Martha, she had panic attacks. And she said, Lord, you know, if you follow her, she did. She was cumbered by much serving. She's a panicky lady. And she said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. And Jesus just ignored her and kept going. And when he looked at, he said this to Lazarus. You ever thought about that? He said, Lazarus, come forth. You say, why did he say Lazarus? If he hadn't have said Lazarus, if he had just said come forth, everybody from the beginning of time that ever died would have got out of them graves. You see, he's the great commander, thank God. You know, I don't care what the brethren think and what the churches think. I don't mean that out of order, but I'm just saying, you know, tonight, I care what Jesus says. He's the commander, amen. Right. Why, brother, he's the boss, amen. Somebody said, well, who's the preacher's boss, God? I got a more fearful boss than you do. I got God. I got to please God. I got to make sure I'm right with the Lord. Hey, can I tell you something? When he says go, we're going, thank God. No matter what CNN, Fox News, and all the rest of them says about it, when God says go, we're leaving out of here, buddy. And there's going to be a shout, amen. God's going to say it loud enough where everybody can hear us, amen. It's going to be a shout, amen, praise God. Amen. This is a military term, as I said, it's a command. And we're going to be leaving here, amen. Did you know in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, I won't take time to read that, but you know, I know what God's going to say at the rapture. You see, if you compare Scripture to Scripture, He said, come up. Hither. That's what he's going to say. John said, I saw a door open in heaven. That's the rapture. The church age just ended after chapter number 3. And he said, come up hither, thank God. And there's going to be a day. You may be in the doctor's office, or you may be on an airplane, or you may be out in the field working, or you may be in the office working. Or glory to God, I might be behind the pulpit preaching. And he's going to say, come up hither. And I'm not even going to take time to say bye. I'm gone. Amen. We're leaving out of here, buddy. Why? Because our Lord commands it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. God ain't dead. Our pastor said something the other day. I never thought about this till he said it, and I got to thinking about it rolling over my mind. I'm slow sometimes about catching stuff. You know, I'm sort of like that fellow was in the Army. His mama wrote him a letter and said, Junior, I wrote you a letter. Said, I wrote it slow. I know you can't read fast. I'm slow, you know. But our pastor said the other day, he said, you know, there's a song come out years ago, said, Jesus is alive and well. Pastor said, I don't know about that song. Said, he's alive. But said, well implies he's been sick. Said, God had never been sick a day in his life. Amen. I like what the inspiration's saying. He's still on the throne. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something tonight, brother. God's alive, and one of these days the world has forgot about his coming, and the church has forgot about his coming, and the preachers have forgot about his coming, and one of these days he's going to come. And I tell you right now, it may be sooner rather than later. I told you last night about a man named Wint Holbrook. He died about 98 years old. And honestly, he tried to beat the rapture. He lived as long as he could. He tried his best, I mean, to beat death. In the He said he's going to be living when the rapture comes. He tried his best to beat death. But you know what? Praise God. One of these days, he's going to get to see the Lord. Lord's going to come back. All them saints going to get up. Amen. And let me tell you something tonight, amen. Did you know he really thought, and Apostle Paul did too, and I've heard Brother Wentz say this many times, testifying. He said, I believe I'm going to be alive when the Lord comes. And I mean, Paul believed that in his day. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, listen, we ought to believe God's coming, amen, in our day. We ought to get believing that again. We just don't hear that much anymore. We hear so much stuff, the devil's blind. I mean, hey, folks, can I tell you a secret? He's coming! He's coming. He's going to catch us away. He's going to give the shout. We're going one of these days. Amen. You know, when you preach a message like this, it's kind of different. People, you know, I don't know what they're thinking. You might be thinking, well, man, I don't want the Lord to come right now. I mean, man, when I was a little boy, I didn't want the Lord to come right then. But I tell you what, the older I get and the more people get on the other side, if he wants to come, be all right with me. You say, well, preacher, what about my lost loved ones? That's why I better be trying to get them in, amen. God ain't going to tarry with them forever, glory to God. I mean, one of these days, I'm leaving out of here, buddy. Amen. There's going to be a shout. Now, let me show you something else tonight. Not only that, but the third thing is I want you to notice the voice of the archangel. Now, in verse 16, he said, with the voice of the archangel. I don't know all about that. I'm not going to get into a debate with you on that. But I am going to say this tonight. You know, I know we sing a lot of songs and things, and I'm not knocking that. You do what you want to do, and I've sung them, you have too, about Gabriel blowing the trumpet. But I'm going to tell you something now. If you'll study your Bible, Gabriel is not the archangel. In Jude 1 and verse number 9, he said, yet Michael, the archangel. Michael is identified as the chief angel, the archangel. And that voice, whatever God's going to do, I don't understand all that, but Michael is the archangel, not Gabriel. But that don't make no difference. But he's coming with the voice of the archangel. He's saying, hey, this is the chief voice. Man, I want everybody to pay attention here. We're getting out of here. We're getting raptured. We're getting called away, snatched out one of these days. Amen. Now, the fourth thing I want you to notice is the trumpet. Look in verse 16. He said, and with the trump of God. You say, preacher, it's going to be a trumpet. Well, Revelation said the trumpet talked with me. And it said, come here. You say, preacher, is it going to be a real trumpet? I believe it is. Because it's mentioned too many times in the Bible. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. First Corinthians. I'm sorry. You prayed for me tonight. The devil really fighting me. And I'm going to tell you why he's fighting. I'm going to tell you why. The devil don't want you to get interested in the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you why. Number one, you'll live a better life if you do. Number two, you'll witness. And number three, you'll anticipate. I'm telling you tonight, this is a lost doctrine in our churches that is not being preached anymore. You think back, and your pastor may have preached on it last week. I don't know. But you think back how long it's been since you heard a message on the rapture of the church. I tell you what it is, brother, we don't believe it. We're too busy with our lives. We don't believe that the Lord's coming. I'm telling you again, He's coming, praise God. He's coming, amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing that He's coming. Yeah. You know, we look at the coming of the Lord like it's some fearful thing. Well, listen, man, I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat, but I'm looking forward to getting out of here, ain't you? Sure. I'm going to show you that right down here in this message in just a minute. But you know, in 1 Corinthians 15:52, He said, for the trumpet shall sound. Revelation 4:1, I already told you about that. He said, the trumpet talked with me. He said, come up here. Now, in the Old Testament, and by the way, the Old Testament is just a picture of what's happening in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they used trumpets to gather assemblies. Thank God there's going to be an assembly gathering one of these days. You say, well, what's it going to be? It's going to be the born again, blood washed, New Testament church that's going to be raptured out of here, buddy. And she's going to be raptured out with a trumpet, amen. Thank God. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that day, ain't you? Number five, let me show you another thing about the rapture. Number five, I want to show you this one. Number five, I want to talk about the dead in Christ. Now, I'm going to talk probably about this a little bit more tomorrow night. But the Bible said in verse number 16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, we use that sometimes as a joke, you know. We'll say, well, the Baptists going up first because they're dead. That's not what it's talking about at all. Amen. I know we laugh at that, but that's not what God's saying there. God is saying that everybody that is saved by grace, that has died and they've planted that body in the ground, He said, man, that day, whether it be day or night, when that trumpet sounds, Brother Hayworth, they are coming out of those graves, amen. I mean, they're coming out, thank God. The dead in Christ is going to, and He told this these Thessalonians, He said, you be confident about this because your loved ones, by the way, they're going to rise before the living folk do, amen. God give them that privilege to rise. I don't know what it is to die. If I live long enough, I'm going to die. Now, that don't make no sense. You think that's funny. But, in other words, if I'm living, I'm going to be raptured out. But if I die, then I'm going to be in this first class. I'm going to go. And by the way, there's just a split second of time. I mean, you can't count the time between the dead and Christ rising and us rising. But the dead and Christ are going to rise first. And glory to God, I mean, listen, man, you ever realize this? If we could get a hold of this, you know, I realize that we sorrow in death. And I want to talk about that tomorrow night if God will let me. I started working on a message today. I'm going to preach tomorrow night if the Lord will let me do this. But you know, here's the thing about this. Sometimes if we'd get a hold of God and we'd realize where our loved one is when they die, we wouldn't have all the sorrow we have. When my little mama died, and that morning I had to go do her, I woke up and I knew I was going to have to do her funeral that day, Brother Hayworth. And by the way, I count it an honor to do my mama and my daddy's funeral. My mama and my daddy both said, my mama always said from the time I was 18 years old, she said, son, if I die before you do, I want you to preach my funeral because you know me better than anybody. I said, well, thank you, mama. And I did preach her funeral. I did preach my daddy's funeral. It was a hard thing to do. But I'm going to say this to you. I sat in that bed that morning, sat up straight up in that bed by myself, just sitting there. And God said, now, boy, we can look at this two ways today. We can look at this physically or we can look at this spiritually. I said, Lord, I believe I want to go spiritually. He said, all right, then here's the way it is. He said, when you look at your mama, he said, that's just the pod. The peas are shelled out, and they're going to be with God. Amen. Amen. She ain't there, buddy. She ain't there. Amen. I don't mean to sound ugly or cold or mean, but I went up there to that casket, and my mama lay in there. Now, you understand something, buddy. I was close to my mama now. Somebody said, was you a mama's boy? You better believe I was my mama's boy. I love my mama now. She's good to me, buddy. Yes, sir. I mean, hey, man, she worked all kinds of hours and everything, put food on my table. And man, my mama's good, man. I'm telling you, buddy, the day she died, it tore my heart out, boy. But I went up to that casket. I laid my hand there, and God told me, the Holy Ghost, he said, you get away from here. Brother, she's not there. Amen. Hey, I'm just saying, they're coming out. Don't you be sad about that. They're coming out of there, buddy. The dead in Christ is going to rise. Then I want to show you number 6. I want to show you about the rapture. Then I want to show you the ones that's living. Verse number 17, then we which are alive and remain. Amen. Hey, we're going with them. Did you know that? The dead in Christ is going to rise, and then I'm going. Amen. It is absolutely a reality that we're leaving here. Several years ago. Now, I want you to get something. I want you to understand something. I don't believe in all these visions and dreams and all that kind of stuff. I pastored back in the mountains, and I love mountain people, and I'm not being disrespectful, but, man, they got all kind of signs and dreams and visions. And I was in a meeting the other night, and the preacher couldn't help it. He's a good man. Matter of fact, he took me on support last night. Good church I was in the other day. But he had a Pentecostal, got mixed up in the service the other night. And that fella got up and had a vision. And he said, Dan, I feel led to preach this on the radio if somebody will let me. And I'm standing there thinking, I know one place you ain't going to. But I ought not tell this. Brother Hayworth, which he just learning me a little bit. I'm learning him. I forgot what he picked on me about last night. I owe him, whatever it was, I got to get him. I don't know what he done. I forgot what he done to me. But in the week, though, if he gets, but anyway, he will never let me live this down. I ought not tell this here. I don't believe in visions and dreams, and you know that. But years ago, when I first got saved one night, and I don't know why people dream stuff, do you? I reckon if you eat pizza and pinto beans and onions and cornbread, you might see lizards driving Volkswagens. I don't know. But I don't know. Somebody said, what does that dream mean? Didn't mean nothing. Amen, don't reckon. Amen, but I dreamed one night years ago. I don't even tell this. I know there's some of y'all going to really get me over this. Years ago, I dreamed this. I dreamed the rapture of the church coming. I was doing this right here, trying to go. I promise you, when the rapture comes, it ain't going to be none of that right there, buddy. I'm going, amen. I mean, the saved, the living saved, is going to leave this world, brother. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we are going with them, amen. And Paul said, I want you to be comforted. Your loved ones are coming out of those graves, and then thank God you're going up with them, amen. I don't know what it's going to be after the rapture. The Bible said they'll believe a lie. And by the way, the Holy Ghost is going with me when I go. He said, he who now let will let he be taken out of the way. One day, can you imagine what's going to be in this world when there's no conviction power at all? When there's no Holy Ghost at all? And brother, he's going with the church. Amen. He lives inside of me. He's going when I go. There'll be no God here. Well, if you're left here after the rapture, man, somebody said, I'll get saved in the tribulation. No, you won't. If you've heard the gospel and you're here, you're not going to get saved in tribulation. The Holy Ghost is going to be gone. Who's going to convict you, my friend? You see, God Himself is going to rapture. But you know what? It's going to be a good day for us. We're leaving here, man. You got cares. You got troubles. You got heartaches. Some of you right now fighting battles, you don't know how you're going to get out of them. Some of you got family members sick with that big C word, the cancer. It's a feared word. I mean, everybody's afraid of that word. People's dying by the thousands with that today. And any of us in here could have it in our body right now and not even know it. But let me tell you, one of these days, whether it be by the clouds or the clods, I'm not going to have to worry about it no more. I'm leaving here, buddy. If we, I'm talking about me, and I feel if we get a hold of this thing tonight, that we are leaving out of here, I tell you, we'd do something for Jesus Christ. You know it? Yeah. You know, I'm 51 year old, and we're buying a house. We're closing on it in 2 weeks, and all that's good. Ain't going wrong with that. I'm looking forward to it. I ain't looking forward to that mowing, really, but I'm looking forward to it. Amen? I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to get to do some things that I ain't got to do in years and always wanted to do. And I'm looking, but you know something tonight? That house, I hope, and I ain't going to let it, if I can get it, it's not going to change the way I'm going to live. I want to live like Jesus is coming in the next 5 seconds. But I want to work like He ain't coming for the next 100 years. Amen? I want to still keep preaching the same gospel, reading the same Bible, praying the same prayers, going to the same churches, doing what I'm doing, trying to help people across America, literally across this country. I want to help people as I try my best to preach the gospel. You know why? Because we're checking out of here one day, buddy. And I just about believe it could be our generation. I really believe it. It could be this generation right here. You see, the devil's lulled us to sleep, man. The devil said, oh, the Lord ain't coming back. Why, the devil's lulled us to sleep with all this fiction stuff. And I'm not mad at you. I don't say anything I shouldn't tonight. But I don't put a lot of stock in these movies that come on TV about the Bible. Let me tell you something. I don't need a movie to show me the rapture or the resurrection or anything else. I just let the Bible show it to me. Amen? I get everything I get out of the Bible. You read the Bible, it'll tell you the truth about stuff. Amen? And you say, boy, the rapture sounds like a fairy tale. Did you know there are kids and young people tonight that have never heard the doctrine of the rapture in the church? They have never understood that if you're saved by grace, you're going to leave here one of these days. Did you know even back when I was growing up and I first got saved, man, back in the 70s, they preached on the rapture a whole lot. As a matter of fact, they preached it so much. Did you know there was a major airline that would not hire Christian pilots? Now, I'm not saying that this is the way it's going to be, because there's a lot of beliefs about all that, and I'm leaving all that out tonight. But they wouldn't hire Christian pilots because they were afraid the rapture would come and there'd be nobody to pilot. I mean, even the sinners believed God was the coming. And the church has got worldly and the world's got churchy, and nobody now believes that God is coming. But I tell you a secret tonight, He's coming! And the dead in Christ is going to rise, and then we which are alive remain, we're going too, amen. They ain't got nothing on me, I'm going to go too, amen. Yeah. Amen. Then let me show you another one tonight, amen. We'll be done here in just a few minutes. I want to show you another number, where did I get to number 7? I want to show you this, amen. I want to show you the reunion in the rapture. Look in verse 17. The Bible said in the latter part of that verse, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, God told this Thessalonians, He said, I want to comfort you concerning your loved ones. And God told them a truth right here. He said, you're going to see Mama and Daddy again before you ever see Jesus. Now, I know that many times we fuss about songs and we say, well, I don't want to hear a song about seeing Mama again. Well, let me say this. Let your mama die and you'll like to hear a song about seeing Mama again. Let me say this. I only say this because it's in the Bible. Mama's not more important than Jesus. No. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the Bible declares that I'm going to see those saints before I see the Savior. If I'm alive on this earth, the Bible says, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and then the next phrase is to ever be with the Lord. I studied a little bit on those clouds today. I want to know what that meant. And I believe, and Oliver Green agrees with me, I believe it's exactly what he said. He said the clouds, and I believe this, because one writer said the clouds are something else, and I don't believe that. I believe it's literal clouds. And I believe you're going to be caught up in, and Oliver Green said, he said the clouds are going to act just like a chariot catching us out of here. Amen? I like that, don't you? I mean, glory to God, God protect us, His saints, all the way. Amen? And brother, let me say this to you. There's going to be a reunion in the air. You're going to get to see them again. You know, some of you ain't seen your loved ones in 35 years. You're going to be reunited. If you'd get a hold of that tonight, praise God, you'd be cutting fits like Brother Miller back here. Amen? Amen. Except he ain't having fits, he's reaping benefits. I like it. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, if you could get a hold of this tonight, brother, that the dead are not asleep in the grave. They're with God. Their bodies in the grave. But, honey, they're coming out, and you're going to see them again. I miss some people. Now, you young people ain't got no idea what I'm talking about, because all your friends and family's on this side. But let me tell you, I grew up in a day of Billy Kelly. I grew up in a day of old Mays Jackson, truck driver special. I grew up in the day of Harold B. Sattler. Signed my Bible, took a fourth of the page. I wasn't going to correct him. That's all right, amen. I was just a young kid, 20. I was afraid of him, amen, scared to death of him. He met me down and kept me and said, "You had supper yet?" Yes, sir. Amen. I mean, you know, scared. I'm going to get to see them fellas again, man. I'm doing it, not in their class, but I'm doing what they did 30 years ago, man. I mean, I used to sit as a kid and dream of the day I'd get to preach, amen. Usually I don't get in churches this big night. I dreamed of this, amen. Thank you, preacher, letting me come. I mean that, amen. Y'all didn't realize that, did you? But I don't get in churches this big most times, and I'm enjoying when I do, amen. I enjoy being with you. I enjoy it. But you know what? Tonight, I'm doing what they did, what that tells me is life's passing on. I'm going to get to see them again. Glory to God, and I'd just soon to meet them in the rapture as I would in death, amen. Why, glory to God, I'm going to get to see. I was thinking about the other day, an old fellow. His wife just died last week or two, but I was thinking about a fellow by the name, you wouldn't know him in here, but I was thinking about a fellow by the name of Ralph Combs. And old Ralph was a blessing to me, and he's a preacher. He died with a massive heart attack about 15 years ago, but I started a church one time, and old Brother Ralph, he hauled a bunch of chairs up there for me to start a church with. And I remember one time in my darkest hour when I was having surgery, I woke up at Baptist Hospital, and man, it's a dark hour, losing my eyesight, and ended up nerves bad, and things going on there, and just, I mean, boy, I was going through a trial of my life. Woke up, and there's old Ralph Combs standing in my bed. You don't forget people like that. He'd come to church, and he'd hit a little line of that, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God." Man, he'd hit that and people go to shout and we'd have a time. Hey, I'm looking forward to that, brother. He made us sing a chorus of that in the rapture. Wouldn't it be good? I don't know. It's going to all happen in a twinkling of an eye, but God's got time to let him sing it if he want to. It'd be good. He said, "Brethren, we have met to worship." That's what we're going to do eternally. Amen? He said, "Boy, I don't like services like that." Boy, you're going to feel out of place in heaven, honey. Oh, man, when those... You say you don't really believe there's going to be a shouting in heaven. As sure as they're over there, they're shouting, amen. You say you don't really believe they're going to run in heaven. As sure as they're over there, they're running, amen. Now, I don't believe a lot of emotionalism, but I tell you what, it's good when God's got a hold of it, amen. Hey, I've seen some real revivals in my day. I have. I've seen God. I ain't talking about this worked up stuff. I mean, one fellow standing up, "Hey, glory to God." Another fellow, "Hey, glory to God." And they're hollering at each other. You know, you can tell when... I don't go for that kind of stuff. I mean, you can tell when that stuff, but I like it when God Himself gets in it. I'm going to stop right in the middle. Let's tell you something. I'm talking about, hey, glory to God, we're going to have a reunion over there. We're going to worship Him. Let me just get to the next point, and I put it in right here. The next one's going to be not only a reunion, but the eighth one is we're going to meet the Savior. The Bible said in verse number 17, and I know this is a little bit different, but the Bible said to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what we're going to do? We're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to meet the one that died for us, amen. Can you imagine? I've been blind all my life. Almost. I mean, you know, I've got a little sight, and I used to have a little bit more sight than I do now, but I have never seen anything with my full eyesight. Don't feel sorry for me. It's okay. But I've never seen a sunset in my full eyesight, never seen the sun rise. I've never seen a flyer in my full eyesight. But glory to God, do you realize one of the first people I'm going to get to see is Jesus Christ in the rapture? If He'd come right now, I'm going to get to see Him real clear, and I can't wait for the day. They always kid me about driving. God said He'll give you desires of your heart, and praise God, I don't know what they're going to have in heaven. I don't know if they're going to have gold horses or what they're going to do, but I'm going to get Fanny Crawls and take her for a ride when I get to heaven. That's what I want to do. Glory to God, she is blind and I was blind. Me and her are going to have a spell. We got something in common. Amen. I hope she likes my preaching because I like her singing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Oh, glory to God. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. Hey, buddy, we're going somewhere. We're going to get to meet the Lord, boy. It's going to be worship. As the Yankees say way up north, it's going to get on, brother. Amen. Yeah. You say, man, I don't like all that stuff. I'm telling you, have you ever been anywhere? I mean, you ever been one of them services when the Holy Ghost is there?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, you know it when God's at home. And can you, that's just a little taste of what we're going to get when we get to heaven. I was telling you about it a while ago. I mean, I seen God get in a meeting one time. Well, I need to tell you the whole story, I guess. Years ago, thanks to Calvary Baptist Church, Rayton Puckett was run revival meeting. And I don't know if I was in the Spirit or not that night. I'm honest, I don't know. I was a young fella, had more zeal than I did knowledge. I took out running at full speed. And they had wooden beams in the wall that come out. I come down that far side right here, and this church built about like that church, and I hit one of them beams, wham, head on, turned me a flip, and I landed upright in a pew. Now, some backslid Baptist over in the choir saying, I wonder if God was in that. If God hadn't been in it, they'd been calling Molly Johnson at the funeral home down there. I don't know if it was not. I think he might have had mercy on me. I'm not sure. I sat there in a dazed condition. That's one time I wanted to have a vision. Amen. I sat there and I got mad at God. I got mad at Rayton Puckett. I got mad at Don. I was getting mad at anybody I could think of just getting mad at him. I said, God, if that's the way you feel about it, I won't never run again. That's fine with me. I just won't never run no more. And God let me by with that for about 2 years. And I went on to the Shield of Faith Baptist Church in Dobson, North Carolina, and one day we was having camp meeting. And one morning it's about 20 degrees outside, and you don't have to believe this if you don't want to. That's why Baptists don't ever get anything they don't believe anything. But, oh, brother, I don't know if y'all know Brother Dave Maynard or not, but he's missions evangelist. Old Dave was there, and I was going to let him preach. I strapped the wireless on him. And God said, they're singing, and God said, I want you to run. I said, now, God, let's don't start this no more. I said, you know, about 2 years ago, what happened over there, thanks to Calvary. I said, let's don't. God said, that's fine. You don't have to run. I said, whoo, thank you, Lord. He said, but I can let you have a car wreck and cut both your legs off. I'm going to tell you what I did. Don't get nervous, preacher. I know where I'm at. I'll be all right right here. I ain't going to run, but I'm going to tell you what I did. Brother, for 2 solid hours I ran. Dave Maynard never did get to preach. The old time meeting broke out in that church on Wednesday night. Brother Jimmy Settle, some of them was there. I don't remember this. And I'm not talking about something put on. I'm not talking about something worked up. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost moved in. Things got bigger than me. They said we walked the rails about like this, and I do not remember that. When I come to myself, I was in the sound room. I don't know what I was doing in there. It's 20 degrees. They were running down the streets of Dobson shouting. And one fella hit a drink machine and a Mountain Dew fell out and he drunk it. They're stealing drinks and God was still blessing to me. God blesses above your fault, friend. Amen. I don't know what all was going on, but I know this. I said that to say this. You ever been so close to God in a meeting like that? Can you imagine? That's just a little smidgen of what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be on all the time. You say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down and drink coffee. No, you ain't. You go look in Revelation 4. You're going to be around the throne. Amen. Saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And you, is it all right to get excited in here? Glory to God, I tell you right now, hey, it's going to be on, buddy. We're going to meet the Savior. Amen. If that dawns on you, we'll have to catch you over here about North Wilkesboro somewhere. Amen. Get you back in here, boy. Amen. You may run to Ashe County and back. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, it's real, and He's coming, and we're getting ready to see Jesus. Amen. I love my wife. I love my mama. I love my preacher brethren. I got good friends. I don't know how many preachers I talked to today. By the way, I forgot to tell you a while ago before I started. Scott Cottle said, tell all y'all hello. And you tell him I had to say that right in the middle of my sermon. I forgot about it. Amen. I love him or I wouldn't do that. I think I do. Yeah, I do. And I'm kidding. He's my buddy. And he said, this is what he said. I love that preacher and his family. That's what he said. He said, you tell him that. Amen. But I got so many good friends. I love old Brother Scott. Brother, I just love people. I love your preacher. I've got to know him this week and he's just so a kind fella. And his wife, she just That's like such a good preacher's wife. She'll go around and shake hands with people and just friendly. And I like that. That's a good church. That's a good marks of a good brother. And I love my friends. I love them all, man. I love my family. But you know what? I have never found anybody that I love better than Jesus Christ. I mean, when I got saved, man, I got saved. Amen? And I fell in love with Him. And glory to God, He's guided me through the fire and the flood and through the trouble and the smoke and the devil bothering me. And one of these days, I've heard about Him, but I'm going to see Him. When I was a little fella, we used to have this little map. It's called, we had this little game. We bought it at a yard sale. It's called the Game of the States. And we had a map on there of the United States. And I'd see a state on a call North Dakota. And I thought, boy, that's 915 million miles from here. One day, there was a missionary called me, a friend of mine, and he said, I need you to go with me to North Dakota. He said, I'm having to come off the field and things. I need some help. I said, you are crazy. I'm not going with you to North Dakota. No, sir, I'm not going. Well, he got mad because I wouldn't go with him. And I got mad because he asked me to go with him. I thought, I'll do anything. I'm a mama's boy, and I'm going to stay here at home. I'm not going to North Dakota. Let a wolf eat me out of the will of God. I'm not going up there. Until the Holy Ghost got dealing with me. And he said, you go with that fella. He needs you. I called him up, and I said, hey, buddy. He said, yeah. I said, God's been talking to me. He told me to go with you to North Dakota. We got in the car. We go out to North Dakota. Man, we cross over Illinois and Wisconsin and all them places up there. Snowed all the way to West Virginia. And we got out there. And you know what? Finally, we hit the state line and said, North Dakota. And you know what I know? North Dakota's there. You know why? I've been there. But I've never been to California, but I believe it's there. I really do believe it's there, but I've never been there. But you know what? I've never been to heaven. But one of these days, I'm going to cross the line and say, welcome to heaven. Amen. One of these days, glory to God, I mean, He's real. I'm going to see Jesus. Amen. I got to hurry. Amen. I'm having too much fun here, man. The preacher won't never let me come back and preach. I'm as happy as a bunny rabbit and 40 acres of carrots and a farmer on a permanent vacation. Amen. I'm having me a time. Amen. You say, well, I'm not enjoying it. Well, just act like you are, and people think you're all right, okay? Can I help you about something right here? Number 9, can I tell you about the quickness of the rapture? First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Can I tell you, I don't know how fast that is. You don't either. All I know is it's going to be quick, buddy. Amen. Glory to God. You know, we're eat up with speed today. Now, I'm pretty sure in this church we've probably got some computer whizzes in here. And you men and ladies that know internet, is 50 up and 50 down, is that good internet? That's good internet, ain't it? In other words, in plain English, that thing will flat fly, right? I mean, that's pretty good, ain't it? And it's pretty good. It's not as good as they got. Well, most of the time you can get 100 one way, but you can't, it's about 2 or 3 the other way. But you know what? We're eat up with speed. I mean, the faster it'll go, the better it is, right? I mean, some of y'all believe that about driving. The faster you go, the better you are. Until you hear that, woo! Now, officer, you know I wasn't doing that fast. I mean, my foot slipped and the gas pedal hung. And, I mean, one of the kids got under the pedal. I mean, I couldn't help it. I'm just, you know. But we think the faster we... But you want to know something? You don't know nothing about fast, and I don't neither. Jesus is the King of fast. Yeah. We're leaving out of here, boy. It's a fast the devil. Ain't even going to know where we're going. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, buddy, we are leaving here. I'm going to give you 2 more and I'm done. I want you to notice the change. This one blessed me. And this will help you. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 52, the Bible said, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And then the Bible said in the next verse, and we read this a lot of funerals, He said the corruption must put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality. You know what that means in plain English? We are going to be changed to a glorified body. I mean, in other words, I met a lady, she's probably here tonight somewhere. I met a lady come out here last night on oxygen. And that's bad. I mean, I got bad eyesight, and some of us got some things wrong with us. But glory to God, there won't be no oxygen tanks in that city, thank God. There won't be no bad eyes in that city. There won't be no bad legs in that city. There won't be no cancer in that city, glory to God. Hey, I'm doing better than Joel Osteen, amen? I mean, it's positivity, man. I'm going somewhere, man, amen? There won't be no funeral homes over there. There won't be no slow funeral signs over there. Glory to God, we got, hey, by the way, we're going to get to cheat death, amen? Did you know that death's holding on all it can right now? And glory to God, at the rapture, that's where that scripture's fulfilled. 1 Corinthians, oh grave, where's thy victory? Oh death, where's thy sting? Fellow riding down the road one day, and a little boy said, Daddy, 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 there's a bee in here. He grabbed the bee and kind of crushed it in his hand. Little boy cried. He said, son, that bee ain't going to hurt you. Look here. He said, I've killed the bee, and said, the stinger's in my hand. Can I tell you, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, whoo, he grabbed death and crushed him and took the stinger in his hand. And old death might hold me for a little while, but glory to God, he can't hold me eternally. I'm coming out of there, amen. Glory to God. By the way, Jesus got the keys of death. Devil ain't even got the keys to his own house, amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something right now. Hey, glory to God, there's going to be a change. By the way, you say, well, preacher, do you really think we'll know each other in heaven? Well, I'd hate to think we're dumber up there than we are here. I know you here. Well, I mean, I know you have to tell me who you are because I can't see. But up there, I'll see you. I'll know who you are. I'll say, hello, Brother Miller. Well, that's about half the church, ain't it? Well, all y'all Millers. If these Millers ever leave you, you won't have nobody to preach to. I never seen so many Millers in one place in all my life, and I like that. You folks, and one fella told me in here tonight, he said, I'm a Miller, but I ain't ready to know the rest of them. He's about like me. I'm a Catherine. There's 18 sets of Catherines. I ain't ready to none of them. I don't know where I come from. I think somebody stole that name and tagged it on our family. I don't know what we was, amen. But anyhow, I'm going to tell you this. Hey, man, we're going to be changed, man. We're getting a new body, brother. Wow, we're not going to be in heaven walking around all gray-headed and stooped over and all that. And I'm not making fun. I'm getting there myself, but there's some snow on the roof right now. But that's what pastoring and marriage will do. Excuse me, moving on. But hey, can I tell you something? Tonight, hey, glory to God, we're going to get changed, amen. Yeah. Well, I think about it. I got a little friend of mine. I was preaching a revival 2 weeks ago in Ash County. A little boy with that cerebral palsy or whatever that is, confined to that wheelchair. 18-year-old kid, he can roll that chair faster than Jeff Gordon can drive a race car. I've never seen a kid wheel a chair. I told him last night, I said, boy, I called him up and told him I found him a wife. That got him all stirred up. But I really didn't. But anyway, here's the deal. Did you know? I really did. I got a friend. Me and Christy got a little girl that works for us. Her name's Sarah. We did find her in Abraham today, sure enough. Amen. I got talking to this little boy. He's about her age, Abraham. I started to call Sarah until I found her Abraham, but I didn't do that. But anyway, I don't match make. You get in that on your own, man. Because once you get in it, you can't get out. But anyway, I'm going on. I'm just kidding. But here's the deal. Did you know? I'm getting ready to close in a minute, but change. Did you know, glory to God, we're going to, our literal bodies are going to be, I mean, all the disease and sickness. My old daddy died of 4 kinds of cancer in his body. That old body's coming out of there. It's going to be changed, brother. Yeah. If we'd ever get a hold of that, that'd stir you up. I mean, that's good stuff. And then I'm going to give you the last thing. The last thing is this, the comfort of the rapture. Look at this. Yeah. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore? He said, comfort one another with these words. Now listen, let me say this in closing. Don't miss this. If the rapture scares you, that means you ain't living close enough to God. In 1981, I got saved in 78. In 1981, some idiot announced on TV that the Antichrist was going to appear on a certain day. Well, that scared me to death. I didn't know anything about that. Just had got saved. But you know, you don't have to be scared about that. Paul spoke these words to the Thessalonians to comfort them. Why, the rapture is going to be a comfort, brother. I mean, getting you out of here is going to be a comfort. Amen. That word literally means to transport. God's going to take you. I don't know, many of y'all have probably flew on an airplane. I don't fly. I don't believe it's scriptural. No, the Bible said, lo, I'm with thee always, but I'm moving on. Y'all get that in a minute. It didn't say that. Somebody said, that preacher don't believe it. I'm kidding, folks. I mean, it's okay to fly. Amen. Matter of fact, the plane's more safe than a car. I wouldn't go jumping out of it, but it's more safe than a car. I wouldn't do like Cale Yarborough. You know, Cale was really a pilot. Did y'all know that Cale Yarborough was a pilot? And old Cale got this guy up in the plane teaching him how to fly. And Cale gets in the back there putting something on. That pilot said, what are you doing? Cale said, oh, I'm gonna jump. And he's putting the parachute on that fellow. I can't get this down. He said, oh, you'll learn how to do it. Old Cale just jumped out the door and left him in there. You say, what'd he do? He landed, I guess. Amen. But anyway, what I'm going to tell you is I'm going to get transported, man. Glory to God, I'm going to get transported one place, and that's a comfort. Don't let that bother you. If you're saved, be comforted tonight. Hey, you're going home, man. You ain't home right now. Right. I went out North Dakota. I stayed for a month. I seen 2 blizzards, an actual temperature of 47 below zero, and I don't like that. If you like it, now my wife's from Mississippi, hadn't ever seen snow. I mean, of course, I mean, she hadn't married me. I guess she can went there, but I don't think me and her would be going out there to live. And when I got back over here, and it had come a big old snow, and I was trying to get home, we got stuck over here in the mountains, Tennessee. And I lie you not, when I got over here on the Tennessee-North Carolina line on I-40, if that fellow would have stopped that U-Haul, I'd have got out and kissed the ground. I've never been so homesick in my life, run a phone bill up $200 calling the house. I mean, I paid it, but I run it up. Boy, I mean, I was homesick. Can I tell you something tonight? I'm getting homesick. I'm getting homesick, man. I hear about the homosexuals taking over and war here and war there and trouble here and trouble there. I'm getting homesick, boy. I want to go home. I want to see David and Isaac and Abraham. I want to see Mom and Daddy. I want to see Jesus. I'm getting homesick. I want to go. And I tell you what, you say, preacher, you really mean it? I mean that. I want to go. Now, I love my wife. I want to live here as long as I can. But I mean, when it comes time, B.L. Moody started to die on his deathbed. You know what he said? If this is death, ain't no big deal. Let me tell you something, brother. Dying's no, we were scared to death. But let me tell you one thing. We're going home, man. Comfort yourself tonight. Now, I'm going to say this, and we're going to close like this. If you're here tonight, and you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because you don't. You say, preacher, I'll get saved 2 years from now. We may be gone, buddy. You may be in the tribulation 2 years from now. Listen, I want to ask you, are you ready? I want to ask you a question tonight. If this sound right here was your next heartbeat, listen, if this was it, if that was it, where would you be? Think about that. If that's it, where would you be? Where would you be? I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I fell dead right here, right now, and they come had to haul me out of here, before I hit the ground, man, I'd be called up. By the way, I've seen something in the Bible today, preacher, that absolutely thrilled me. The rapture talks about, the word means called up. That's what it means. Did you know Paul used that term when he died? He said, in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell you. He said, I was caught up to the third heaven. Man, when you die out of this world, God snatches you right then that fast and gets you out of here. I'm somebody. You know, many people don't know my name. I don't really want them to. More people know me, I guess, than I want them to know. I try to shy away from it. I go into Cracker Barrel sometimes and people walk up to me. Are you Ricky Collins? I say, yes, sir, but how do you know me? I always like to know because, you know, I'm afraid they'll come steal my water hose or something. I always like to know. I don't like people to know me and me not know who they are. We first got married, and I got to close, but we first got married, me and Christy, we first got married, we'd go to Walmart, you know, and we just had, and somebody would see me, hey, brother, how you doing? I said, man, I'm doing great. How are you? Boy, I'm doing good. How's your church doing? I said, it's doing good. We had just talked and had the biggest time. They'd walk up, Christy said, who is that? But I don't know. She said, you stood there and talked to them 15 minutes. I said, honey, if God don't know them no better than I do, I guess they're lost. I don't know who they was. Amen. I don't know. So I started getting on the radio telling them, if you see me, let me know. Don't come to me and say, do you know who I am? Because I get confused. Just come to me and tell me who you are. Amen. But what I'm trying to say by that is, I don't know what I was trying to say, but anyway, what I am saying is this. We're going home. Be comforted by the thing of, you, amen, you're leaving out of here. And if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord tonight, hey, tonight's the night. Today's the day of salvation. This is it, man, right here. Tonight's the night. You come. There's no accident that you're in this building tonight. Now, this ain't been the greatest sermon ever preached, and this one won't make it in the sword of the Lord, and it won't make it many places. And if you put it in your garden, it'll probably kill the bugs and play it back on CD. But I'm going to tell you what it will do tonight. If you'll listen to it, it'll get you ready to go to heaven. Amen. Let's have our musicians come. And I tell you what we're going to do. We get that song leader to come up here, brother. Come up here just a minute. Let's get a song. Let's get an invitation song. And we'll let them play and we'll sing a song here. And while we do that, let's everybody stand tonight. And we're going to have prayer while they're getting ready. And man, if you ain't saved, tonight's a night, man. Yeah. Hey, tonight's, if you are saved, you ought to get in this altar tonight and say, dear God, I got lost loved ones and the rapture could come before in the morning. Hey, man, it's coming. It's coming when you think not. And I'm telling you, this generation thinks less of the coming of God than any generation since the church began. I guarantee it. Now, we are looking less. Man, people still come. I don't know. People come. You come. You mind God tonight. Father, help us. I absolutely preach what you told me to. Lord, I even want to argue with you a little bit about preaching this. But God, I believe we've done the right thing. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. You can look this way. Let's sing a verse. We're going to have prayer for all these in the altar. Let's sing about one verse. And you come tonight if you need to come.